maybe we'll make this part of it. But just turn with me to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians, I just want to talk about that just for a second. All right, it's so important that we have an attitude of faith. Like, we have to have an attitude of a warrior type of faith. Amen? And while you're turning there, I'll pray. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that it'll fall on good soil. Lord God, that this Holy Ghost would impart revelation knowledge to everyone in this place. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Father. We thank you that we're the head and we're not the tail, that we're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out, and the greater one lives on the inside of us. And Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And we want to, and I like what this says, because tonight we're going to be talking about God's creative power. Words, God's creative power, confession. We are a faith church, okay? We believe in that with all our heart. Sunday after service, we were talking to Kevin. And by the way, Kevin's probably going to be here May 29th. Just Kevin, not Annie. Kevin, he'll be up here. So I asked him to come in and minister on that Sunday morning. Oh, because he didn't get a chance to minister, you know, and he's an outstanding preacher, So he didn't get a chance to minister, so he said he's going to be, this is weird, real weird. Anyway, he's going to be up this way again, and so I said, well, if you're going to be up here and you're not going to be preaching on Sunday morning, come over here and minister. You know, I look at those things that don't cost anything. He's in town. You know what I mean? And that's a blessing right there. So, praise God. But anyway, so we started talking about, you know, you got to understand, Kevin, Annie, and I, we went to Bible school together. So, you know, we were back there in a day where the faith message was under so much persecution, name it and claim it, possess, confess it and possess it, and all this stuff. And I really think over the years, it's going to be 30-some years here, real soon, that we graduated from Rhema, and you kind of get circumstances of life, the challenges of life, and people. You know, you forget your roots. And our roots was always in confessing God's word, calling those things that be not as though they are, even in the midst of your circumstances, even in the midst of being sick, in the midst of not having any money, still calling those things in, because God sends his ministering spirits out for us and to minister to the heirs of salvation. And, you know, I've been talking to Kevin every day. Today's the first day I really didn't talk to him. We talk on the phone every day. And so it is so important that we maintain this attitude of faith. I really believe in the body of Christ today, and I told my wife that people aren't getting their needs met because they don't know what to say. Amen. We're saying what the world says. We're confessing what the world says. And guess what you're getting? Exactly the same thing. All right. But anyway, this is a little addition to what I was going to preach. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, we should have the same spirit of faith, according to this, to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So we, with this verse of scripture, we have to understand, speaking is very, very important. You know, you could... Well, I don't want to get all caught up there, but so you know, when you look at faith, faith is really focusing continually on what God's word says, focusing on his promises. It's acknowledging those promises in your life. You know, I taught a sermon a while back about ownership and possession. You could own something and not possess it. And on the other hand, you can possess something and not be the owner of it. And we own healing. We own prosperity. But a lot of us don't possess it. The reason why is we lack knowledge of it. And we keep saying the wrong things. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. A snare is a trap. Now, when you read the verses before that, it's talking about don't lend, don't be a surety for someone, and because if you do, blah, 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 and all that. But the point is, what you say will snare you. Okay? It's, you know, faith insists on God's promises in our life. It insists they're ours. They belong to us. You know, it thinks on them. It meditates about them, on the promises of God. And you just hold on to your confession every day, every single day. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So we need to develop this attitude of faith, and we need to get our confession lined up with what God's word says. And to be perfectly candid with you, I'm one of those ones that fell by the wayside sometimes, because sometimes the pressures of life just come in and steal the word. You know, that's what Mark chapter 4 is all about. The seed. The seed comes in and, you know, it's producing 36. It's producing. It's starting to produce in your life. And all of a sudden you start looking at your bills. You start looking at this. And you start, instead of saying, thank you, Jesus, you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory, I call those finances in the name of Jesus. You're going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this? Oh, God. Oh, man, the washer broke. The dryer broke. This broke. What am I going to do? And man, it's like a snowball. Because of what you say out of your mouth. You know? And so Christians are defeated. Because they believe and confess the wrong things. And they have spoken the words of the enemy. And it's, you know, and it holds us in bondage. Those words we speak hold us bound. You know, faith-filled words will put you over. And fear-filled words will keep you bound. They'll defeat you. Some people have faith in fear. They have so much faith in fear, it just rocks their socks. Because they're afraid of everything. Oh, I'm afraid of that. Yeah, because they have faith in that fear in their life. And words are the most powerful thing in the universe. God created the universe with words. He created everything with words. God said, let it be. And man, it was let it be. Let it happen, and it happened. So it's important that we understand this. You know, you're a spirit being. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Friend, your body is third on the list. Hello? Your mind is second. The most important thing is your spirit, because you're a spirit being. Everybody say, I'm a spirit being. And because we are a spirit being, that's the true us, we are very capable people to operate on the same level of faith as God. I didn't say you are God. I says you could operate on the same level of faith. And you want to know something beautiful? Jesus came to show us it could be done. Because when he came to the earth, he was 100% man. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 9, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you could believe. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have, actually there's a little bit more to it when you read above it, but he said, they wanted to know why they couldn't cast out a demon, okay? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. They didn't believe they could do it. And he says, I say to you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed hence there to yonder, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then naturally, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How many people in here are number one, a whosoever? Okay? So if you are a whosoever, you could have whatsoever. Say, I'm a whosoever, and I could have whatsoever. Isn't that great? Because I'm a whosoever. You know? It's not a theory. It's thank you. Would you read my note? It's not a theory. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a spiritual law. You can't stop it. It just works every time it's applied. When you apply it correctly, it works correctly. When you apply it negatively, wrongly, you get wrong results. And for so long, we have been getting wrong results. It's a spiritual law. Let me tell you something. God never does anything, without saying it first. Okay? He's a faith God. And God released his faith in words. Jesus says to them in Mark chapter 11, he says, "If have faith in God," or a more literal translation would be have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. So it goes back to what I said before. We could operate on that same level. And the reason we don't is because we don't believe we can. Okay? And that's how simple it gets. We just don't believe we can operate on that same level of faith. Well, he was Jesus. Yeah, and he says, the works I do, you'll do greater. Hello? Greater in quantity and greater in quality. So don't say, ooh, I'm not God, I can't do that. God expects you to operate on the same level of faith that Jesus operated on. We are the body of Christ, right? We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his fingers, we're his ears, we're his eyes. So therefore, we're capable of operating on the same level. He needs us. He needs it. Oh, you got to say, but he's God. He can do anything. Yes, he can. He is God. He is sovereign God Almighty. But guess what God did? He did something really interesting. He limited his sovereignty. He created you and gave you the authority. And Jesus, throughout the Word of God, operated in faith principles. Always. Mark chapter 23. Matthew chapter 17. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to demons. He spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to dead people. The wind, the sea, the demons, the dead were very obedient to what Jesus said. The wind stopped, the sea got calm, and the fig tree died, and the dead rose. And just think about that. Think of the awesomeness that God has entrusted us with that authority. Not to misuse it, not to use it for personal gain in our life, but to use it to be a blessing to people. God, Jesus operated in the God kind of faith. All right? Can you say amen? All right. You know, see, well, you know what Jesus was doing? You know, Jesus made a statement I thought was very interesting, because what I see the Father do, I do. So to me, that's pretty amazing, because kids imitate their parents. Did you ever notice that? Whatever they see their father do, they do. And here's the cool part. We get mad. Well, they're just following a biblical principle that God said in there. Be imitators of God as dear children. See, the principle's there. So you have no right getting mad at your kid because he's doing something you did, because he's just imitating his father. Now, when we imitate God, God loves that, because the Bible tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. So he was imitating, and he got results. And Jesus says, he that believeth on me, John chapter 14, verse 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he also, and greater. And these are based on a spiritual law. You know, the law of giving, and it's a spiritual law. The law of giving and receiving is spiritual. You are going to give. Whatever you give, you will get. You can't stop it. I don't even care if you don't believe it. Because it's, you know, what if you threw a seed in the ground and you didn't believe it was going to grow? Wake up, Bubba. It's going to grow whether you believe it's going to grow or not. Unless you put poison on it. You throw a little water on it, it's going to grow. And if you don't water it, God will send the rain and it'll get watered and germinate and grow. So there's just some laws that work. Sowing and reaping is a law that works. God sent it, started it, set it in motion, and it'll never stop. The sun will come up and the sun will go down. It won't ever stop until Jesus comes back. I don't care what the environmentalists say. The sun's coming up and it's going down till Jesus stops it. Now, like it says in Philippians, that everything is held together by him. Him and his word. The whole universe is held together by God. And as long as he's got it held together, it's not going nowhere. I don't know why everybody's all upset. I don't know why they don't hire me to go preach and talk about these things. Oh, but you don't know. The earth is getting cooler. Oh, no, it's getting warmer. No, wait a minute, I think it's getting cooler. Not really sure. It's getting cooler or warmer. It's one of those two. So for 5 years, it'll get warm. Then all of a sudden, oh, it's getting cold out again. The earth is getting cold. We're going back to the ice age. Remember that? They even made movies about the ice age. Now they make movies about global warming. I got a question. I'm not a scientist. But who's nuts here? Them or us who believe it? Us or Leo DiCaprio? Those laws work for whosoever will apply them and set them into motion by the words that come out of your mouth. I ask a question, just a nice little question. Think about all the negative things you've said in the last 48 hours. Do you really want them to come to pass in your life? I didn't think so. But keep saying it, because they will. You know? I mean, are you really believing for those things? If Jesus came to you personally and said, if Jesus came in a room tonight and he just sat right here on the communion table like this and he said, now listen, I won't. Richie built it, ain't going nowhere. Anyway, And he sat on that communion table and he looked you square in the eye and he said, from this day forward, it will come to pass that everything you say would come to pass. Do you think that you would change your vocabulary? Then why don't you believe his word? Because he says it in his word. That should, right there should make you change your vocabulary. And I believe it would. See, your words program your spirit, your heart, either to succeed or defeat. My grandson, he's got a band, a little playing, and Antonio's a little, you know, he's shy. So last night I says, no, he goes, I don't want to go in front of people. I said, only 36 people. What are you worrying about? 36 people. I don't want to go. I said, come on, let's do it. He says, I said, this is the way I want you to do it. I don't know if I remember what it was, but W stands for Washington, the general who led the battle. And I forget what the rest of it was. So he's got to like memorize that little thing. So he gets up and he goes, W stands for Washington. I says, that's it. I mean, you got to project. But see, I'm programming him not to be afraid to get up and say that. Hello? See, words are containers. They carry faith or they carry fear. And you know, there's a principle in the Bible that says, it's not a principle, it's actually a law, that says everything produces after its own kind. And guess who set that one into motion? God. And so, you know, words are containers. They either carry faith or they carry fear, and they produce after their own kind. It's just the way it is. And so the Romans chapter 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Here, and faith comes more quickly to you when you hear yourself quoting and speaking God's word. Okay? Saying the things that God says. You're more readily to receive God's word into your heart by hearing yourself say it over and over and over again. You know, then hear me say it. Hello, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree because, you know, we're to live in the authority of the word of God. You know, Charles Capps, who I believe gone home to be with the Lord, said this concerning the word of God. He said, it's a scientific application of the wisdom of God to the psychological makeup of man. Talking about saying something. It, psychologically, it does something. By saying it out loud, what it does, it gets into your psychological makeup. An example would be the times tables. Learning a foreign language. Why is that okay? You learn a foreign language, it gets in your heart, it gets in you psychologically, it becomes part of you, and you speak it. You hear somebody speaking in that language, and what do? Automatically? You automatically answer them back in that language. Somebody goes, how much is 2 times 2? It just pops out. Why? Because psychologically, you have fed it to yourself, and you've confessed it over and over. 2 times 2 is 4. What's next? 2 times 3 is 6. You know, so when you get old, you forget it. But now the poor kids today, they got calculators. I mean, we used to have to write them down. We used to write it down. If you were bad in the classroom, you had to go up to the blackboard and write your times tables 20 times. It's like going to confession and having to do penance. And it works. We need to get the word of God in us the same way. So that whenever something happens, we automatically speak the word of God. not doubt, fear, and unbelief. Amen? Thank you for that. I like that. So we need to begin to live in the authority of God's word. God's word is a creative power, and it's produced in the heart, and it's formed by the tongue and released through your lips. Formed in the heart. What did I just say? No. Produced in the heart, formed on your tongue, and when you speak, it comes forth. You know, Charles Capps, I don't know how many have ever heard of Charles Capps. Not too many people heard of Charles Capps. But Charles Capps, I believe, has gone home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. And I tried to get him here to preach so many, many, many times. And he just, in his later years, he just didn't want to leave Arkansas. You know. But this is some quotes that he had given. He says, for it to be effective, man must speak it in faith. Talking about God's word. Okay, Jesus spoke it when he was on earth, and as it worked then, so shall it work now. It's going to work. Got a couple other things. He goes, but for God's word to be effective, men must speak it. We need to speak it. In order for it to be effective, we need to speak it out of our mouth. God's word is not void of power. It's not. You know, he said, God's people are void of speech. They hear the world and speak as the world speaks. How? By observing circumstances. And they lose sight of what God's word says. And I think we've all gone down that path time and again. All right? They even speak what the devil speaks. And they destroy their own inheritance that God has for them by the corrupt communication in fear of fear and unbelief that comes out of our mouth. But his word, no word of his is void of power, ever, ever. Praise God. And see, those little truths there, they'll change your life. They will change your life if you get them in your spirit. You know, we need to confess victory in the face of apparent defeat. Confess abundance in the face of lack. Confess abundance in the face of lack. I'll say it again. Confess abundance in the face of lack. It's amazing. We buy into all the world system of doing things. Instead of confessing abundance and believing God that it's going to come to pass. Jesus, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, he shall have. He saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Your voice, your words, is your address in the spirit realm. You know how, like, you got an email address, you got a street address? Well, in the spirit realm, you have an address. It's what comes out of your mouth. God says in Psalms that his words, his angels, are listening for us who speak the word. See, you got angels, they're just sitting like on the curb playing blackjack. Because you're not saying anything, you're not talking the word, you're talking everything the word that's happening in the world. And the devil's angels having a field day with you. They mean they hit the roulette table. And your angels just sitting around going, what could I do? Can't go near them because they're speaking the wrong things coming out of their mouth. You know, and I say this often, and I can never remember where I heard it, but it says, I have told my people they could have what they say, but they are saying what they have. Say it again. I have told my people they could have what they say, but they are saying what they have. And as long as they say what they have, they'll never have more than they say. Think on that one for a little while. You could have what you say, but you keep saying what you have. I don't have enough money to do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. And as long as you keep saying it, you will never move out. So you better change what you're saying. You can't say amen, amen, say oh me. Pastor kicked me in the butt. But it's the truth anyhow. And then I was reading in a book, and there that was that saying. So I thought, I made it up. It's become so much a part of me that I thought I said it. But I didn't. I just had to fess up on that one. But still, it's a great, think about it. And it's a simple little truth, you know. It's simple, but it's profound. It's far-reaching. Think about it. You know, I go home and I have bills on the and I go, oh God, I got. And I remember Patsy Caminiti. I will never ever forget this as long as I live. Matter of fact, I did forget it, but I started remembering it. And so I would always look at the bills on my desk at home and freak out. Oh man. So, and I remember she said, every time she got her paycheck, she would thank God for that paycheck. And she would go home and lay hands on her bills and say, God, I believe you in the name of Jesus, all these bills are paid in full. And God started bringing things her way, you know, ministry-wise and stuff. And before you know it, all her bills were paid. So I started doing that. I put my hands on the bills on my desk at home. We're going to start doing that here. And I'm going to put tape over everybody's mouth. And I say, Lord, I thank you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm tired. My head is tired of trying to figure it out. I got a headache trying to figure out how he's going to do it. I don't have to know how he's going to do it. I just have to believe he's going to do it. So, you know, and so we have to get that spiritual law in motion in our lives. You know, we just have to do it. You all go home, lay your hands, but next week they still might be staying there. See, that's no reason to start looking at the circumstances and say, well, they're still there. They'll go. See, when you do a correct application, it will change every impossible situation. But if you don't correctly do it, it will hold you in bondage and cause the circumstances just to get worse and worse and worse, constantly worse. Every faith principle, every spiritual law that God set forth in his word is for our benefit. It was designed to put us over in life. You know, it amazes me how people look at these little get-quick schemes on television in the middle of the night, you know, and they break their bed. They'll send that $169 in to get this guy's book. And when you get it, it's about that thick. Because you're going to be the next Donald Trump. You're going to be the next real estate baron. Not that guy who you sent your $169 to has got a 130-foot yacht sitting in Fort Lauderdale. That's right. Am I right? And he's living large, brother. Because he be calling things that are not as though they are. And he might not be using the word of God, but it's still coming to pass in his life. I'm sorry, man. That's just the truth anyway. So you could have what you say if you learn how to release faith from your heart in your words. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll bring this to a close. I don't know if you got anything out of this, but this stuff, man, I am telling you, this is faith 101 right now. It's faith 101. People think, oh, wow, this is such great revelation. This is what we cut our teeth on. And I'm so mad at myself, I could kick myself. Kick me. Well, but I should be saying, I should be more. I should be over the top. Oh, yes. Anyway, here's a little story about the centurion servant. Remember the centurion servant over there? It's also in Luke chapter, I think it's Luke chapter 10 or 9, I'm not sure. But anyway, the centurion's servant is sick, and he tells Jesus that you don't have to come. Just speak, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus says he's never saw such great faith as this guy because he just believed. All right. But it was more than believing. Then Jesus said to the centurions, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So as you believe, he didn't say, I got to wrap this around a little bit. He didn't say if you believe right. He simply said, if you believe. See, you can believe whether it's right or wrong, it's coming to pass. He was believing right, but Jesus didn't specifically say, you believed right, buddy. He says, be it as you believed. It will come to pass as you believe. Point, okay? Whether you're believing right or whether you're believing wrong, it's going to come to pass in your life. So be it. I mean, I'm like confusing the King James and the New King James together. Sorry about that. But he says, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. He believed that Jesus' word would heal his servant. If he didn't believe that, his servant wouldn't have been healed. But Jesus says, your faith, your attitude towards this whole thing, be it as you believe. So it wasn't whether he was believing right or wrong. He was believing. So if you believe something bad's going to happen to you, be it according to as you believe. Hello? You know, and it's funny because we talked in Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. And this isn't maybe next Wednesday night. I don't know however God leads me, but you know, I want to talk about seed time and harvest time. And not just about finances, about seed time and harvest time in your life. Healing, whatever. But the spiritual law is based on that principle of seed time, harvest time. All right? The words we speak are seeds, and they produce. Mark chapter 4 talks about that. You know? And just as sure as they are planted, a harvest will follow. How many's planted gardens and stuff right now? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you sitting home at night hitting glory and saying, I hope them stinking peppers grow? Did I ever come up to you and say, Louis, come on, man, plant, are the peppers going to, I hope they're growing. Oh, they're going to grow.
Exactly.
Louis, put them in the ground, they're going to grow. He's going to throw water on them and they're coming up. Can't stop it.
They're already in.
That's it. It's seed. Word, you. Every time you say something, negative, whatever, it's seed, it's going out there. It's sticking. Good, bad, or ugly. So faith talks. And when faith talks, it talks faith. It doesn't talk doubt, fear, and unbelief. I mean, you know, Jesus said, out of the treasures of your heart, you'll speak. Your treasure will be manifested to people around you in the words that you speak. So take Jesus' words personally and seriously tonight, all right? Praise God. The word works. The word works. You get to train yourself to speak God's word. Again, I said it at the very beginning. I'll just hit it. We need to be followers of God as dear children. Imitate our Father. Imitate our big brother, Jesus. Jesus spoke to things. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree died. Jesus spoke to the blind man, and he saw. Imitate God as dear children. And it says, actually, it says be followers, and the Greek word for followers is imitate. So, we'll close. You know, if you study the life of Jesus, you'll know several few different things about Jesus. Number one, he spent time in prayer. He never prayed the problem, though. You ever notice Jesus never prayed the problem? Prayed the answer. And I passed the local church coming up here that's having prayer college. You know, I tell somebody, oh, they're having prayer college over there. I says, well, you know, you should have came here when I had prayer college on Wednesday night for 10 weeks. Because I know they're teaching the same thing I taught. Now it's prayer college. You want to go to college? See how Jesus prayed. No, don't hit me with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Because although that is a prayer, it's really not even a prayer. It's an outline on how to pray. It's an 8-point outline on how to pray. It's not a prayer. I know we grew up praying our Father who art in heaven, and I'm not coming against people who do that. Matter of fact, if I do a funeral and I know it's mixed company and there could be people from different denominations, I will end it with the Our Father. Doesn't knock God off his throne. Okay? But really, it's an 8-point outline on the way you're supposed to pray. The disciple says, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said, Our Father who art in heaven. Well, that's how you start. Hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed is bless his name. So you start blessing his name. And you start talking, you know, I got to remember how it goes even. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Talk about his kingdom coming. Just the whole thing, it's just an outline. Maybe I'll teach it after the summer again. Amen. But he never prayed the problem. He prayed the answer. Number two, he spoke accurate speech. He never spoke crooked speech. When I say crooked speech, his conversation always consisted of what God said. Study Jesus and you'll see that. Jesus always spoke the end result, not the problem. Okay? I never see Jesus in any time praying other than in the garden, talking about present circumstances. Even in that situation, he spoke the end result. He used the word of God to defeat Satan. So with those little things. So I'll end with this. You guys can come up. I'm waiting. Come on. I said this before. The word of God conceived in your heart, formed on your tongue, and spoken out of your mouth is creative power. So you ought to write that down. The word of God conceived in your heart, formed on your tongue, and spoken out of your mouth is the creative power of God. Can you say amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word, Father. I thank you that people receive revelation knowledge tonight, Lord, that it fell on good soil and it won't return void, Father God. And we'll speak the word over our circumstances every day. We'll speak the answer, not the problem, Father, in everything that we do. And Father, I praise you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.